How do you go from being the hottest team in baseball to looking like a team that's never played baseball before? Just ask the New York Yankees. We're going to break down the Yankees' disappointing four-game series against the Toronto Blue Jays and look ahead to the postseason here on the latest episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. How do you go from winning 10 straight games to losing four of your next five? It's got to be 2020 for you. The New York Yankees are such a streaky team. And, you know, I just feel like I'm on an emotional roller coaster right now. It's unbelievable. This whole season's just been ups and downs, highs and lows, injuries, success, then failures, struggles, here and there. It just seems like it just doesn't stop with this team. And right now, there's a lot of concern on my end about this team as we're just three regular season games away from starting up the postseason next week. Yikes. Yikes, yikes, yikes. But anyway, before we get started on today's show, reminder, you can follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty, our podcast available on all podcasting platforms. Find it on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. You can also find us on TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and the brand new Amazon Music for podcasters. Make sure you find us on any platform that you would like and prefer, and please give us a subscribe and a review for the show. Every bit of feedback does help our podcast. We greatly appreciate it. On today's show, we're going to take a quick look at the four-game set against the Toronto Blue Jays. Man, I thought it was going to be a good thing that the Yankees didn't have to go to Toronto this year, but it was even worse that they had to go to Buffalo. They really, really hated playing in that ballpark. They struggled once again, losing 3 of 4. And we'll also look ahead to the Yankees' final series of the season against the Miami Marlins at Yankee Stadium. And then we're going to look at the updated playoff scenario. And boy, it's really difficult to decipher how I want this to play out. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But let's just take a quick look at what this Blue Jays series meant for the Yankees. First and foremost, you want to clinch the second spot in the American League East, so you're in that middle of the pack and you have a chance to get a home game. And the Yankees really had an opportunity going into this series. If you take 3 or 4 or even sweep, that you could possibly pass either Minnesota or Chicago for that 4 spot. And we all know how good the Yankees have been at home. They've been absolutely atrocious on the road. So it is a little bit of a struggle. Going into it, you would think there was a lot of motivation for this team to step up and win these ball games. And unfortunately, most of these games ended in blowout fashion. The Yankees really didn't have it in the entire series. They had one game where they exploded offensively. But other than that, it was very, very disappointing. And let's start off with game one. Game one happened on Monday. We all know it was the bullpen game because of the fact of the Yankees wanted to move back Gerrit Cole and Masahiro Tanaka in order to get them postseason ready. So Michael King gets the ball. Michael King does not do well. Only goes into the third inning, allows 5 runs. The Yankees find themselves down by 9 runs after the first 4 innings. And you're saying to yourself, make it stop. Please, make it stop. But it didn't. Blue Jays go off for 11 runs on 13 hits in the ballgame. Yankees offense does a little, not enough. And they go on to lose 11-5. Let's give you a little recap of how the Yankees scored their runs. Early on, top of the second, Yankees take a 1-0 lead on a Gio Urshela single to center field. Now, Gio's been phenomenal as of late, even with the bone spur in his elbow, seems to be all right. And then the Yankees did not add another run until the 7th inning, where Urshela had an RBI ground out. They added some more runs in the top half of the 9th on a Tauchman double, which scored 3, but that was it, a little too late. And again, a frustrating way to start the series. Obviously, you hope that King would have gave you a little more. He didn't. And it just, it's one of those situations where they were trying to align the bullpen. Loaisiga, for the first time in a while, really didn't have it. He struggled as well, and that put the Yankees down and in a predicament where it was too much to catch up from the deficit they were in early on. You have to give credit to Nelson. 2 innings, only allowed one run. And then, obviously, you hate to use Green and Ottavino in a blowout game, but the Yankees were forced to. And, you know, you chalk it up as a loss, obviously. You're looking ahead to Gerrit Cole, and you're hoping that he gets the Yankees back on track. Yankees had two guys with two hits in this ballgame. Urshela was one of them. LeMahieu was the other. LeMahieu's battling for that American League batting title. You could tell it's starting to get to him a little bit. It's more of a distraction than anything. But nonetheless, like I mentioned earlier, 11-5 was the final score of Game 1 of this series. And let's go into Game 2. Obviously, Gerrit Cole on the mound. And who's catching Gerrit Cole? The same guy we thought was going to be catching Gerrit Cole. And that is Kyle Higashioka. And Cole, for another straight start, looked phenomenal. Gerrit Cole, what more can you say about him? 7 innings, only allowed one run, and that was off of a home run. He allowed 5 hits, struck out 7 in the process, and that was the guy that you really signed up for. If you're the Yankees, when you signed him to that big deal, this is the guy that they've been waiting for. He's back on track. He's the main reason why I have confidence in a 3-game set, because you're thinking that he's going to go on the mound in Game 1 and win you that ball game and hold the opponent to a low-scoring game. And that's what he did in his last start of the regular season. And we'll take a look at Cole's numbers as a whole later on toward the end of the segment. But the Yankees get up early in this ball game. They scored 2 runs right away in the top half of the first. And Aaron Hicks, RBI triple. And then Hicks ended up scoring on a wild pitch. They're up 2-0 right away. Go to the 4th inning, Urshela single. Like I said before, he's been on fire as of late. Yankees explode in the 5th inning for 4 more runs. A Judge single, followed by a Hicks single, and a Torres single scores some more runs. They're up 7-1 after the 5th. They tack on a few runs late. Gardner single, Higashioka double. That was ruled a home run initially, but was ruled afterward that it was only a double. And then a couple more hits, a Torres single, and an infield single by Urshela. Score more, 12-1 is the final in this ballgame. So again, Cole was phenomenal. The bullpen did its job. Britton and Ottavino came in to close it out. Yankees had a couple of standout performances in this one. Urshela, 4-for-5, had 2 RBIs. Gleyber Torres, 3-for-5, 2 RBIs. They had Aaron Hicks, 2 hits, 3 RBIs. Aaron Judge in a DH role, 3 hits, 3 runs scored. So a lot of offensive production in this one. You got to give the Yankees credit. And also Kyle Higashioka had 2 hits as well. Can't leave him out. Gerrit Cole's personal catcher doing the job when he's called upon, which is really nice to see. Now, confidence booster. You win Game 2. Obviously, you want to split this series at least. You want to go home to Yankee Stadium, your final series, with 2 of these wins. Knock the Blue Jays out of contention for the 2nd place spot in the American League East. However, Game 3 and Game 4 did not go as planned. Number 1, the Yankees' offense goes stale. They score 1 run in Game 3. They had the same amount of errors that they had hits. That's pretty embarrassing. And 2 of those hits came from DJ LeMahieu. They had 4 errors as a team. 2 of which came from Sanchez. You had another one from Torres and another one from Voit. Listen, I love Gleyber Torres. I really do. But he's been very bad defensively at shortstop for this team. Among the American League leaders and Major League leaders at shortstop and errors. And he's been struggling in the field. And when Gleyber's not hitting the way Gleyber is capable of hitting, it kind of makes you think, you know, is it too much to ask of him to be the everyday shortstop moving forward? But that's another conversation for another day. We'll get to that. And again, the Yankees offense struggled. They stink with runners in scoring position. They were 1-for-7 in this contest, left 8 on base. The trend continued throughout the remainder of the series, and it was just a frustrating way to lose. They get blown out 14-1. Tanaka, in his final tune-up before the postseason, he lingered a bit. The Yankees defense didn't help him, obviously. He allowed 3 earned runs, 5 total. He lingered. He didn't look like the Tanaka of old. But you have to imagine Tanaka will be ready to go for the postseason. He's been really good in the postseason scenarios, and you know, you just hope for the best. And again, the bullpen didn't have it either. Sessa struggled, which is surprising given the fact he was really good over the last span of games that he's pitched. Tyler Lyons, who couldn't pitch in Game 2 because he wasn't on the roster or the lineup card that was submitted, he allowed 4 runs in just under 2 innings of work. They actually had to turn to Eric Kratz to pitch an inning in this ball game because it was so out of hand. So, you know, it's one of those situations where Eric Kratz is becoming a valuable reliever for the New York Yankees. two appearances for him. So, frustrating loss. You turn your attention to game four, final game of the series. And, you know, going into this one, I'm just sitting there, and for me, I'm hoping that they split this series because that, in turn, gives them the series victory for the year. Going in, it was 5-4 Yankees, and with a win, you know, you take 6 out of 10 against a division opponent, and that's big. But, unfortunately, the Yankees had other plans. The offense goes stale again. Once again, the Yankees only scored 1 run. This game, they had 7 hits at least. They had a couple of guys with 2 hits. They had Urshela and Voit. Got a couple of hits from a couple of other guys who have been struggling. But nonetheless, they waste a good start from Montgomery. 5 1/3, 3 earned runs. Ottavino allows another run in the 6th. But, you know, it's just frustrating. I don't even know what to say. They made Hyunjin Ryu look like Cy Young. He goes 7 innings, allowed no runs. The Yankees didn't score a run until the 8th inning. And there's a couple of things in this game alone that kind of frustrate me. Number one, Aaron Judge out of the lineup. I know Aaron Boone said he was going to get a day off, one more before the end of the regular season, but wake up. You know, this guy didn't play for weeks. You mean to tell me that he needs another day off when he should be getting at bats that are going to be important for him moving forward? And then not only do you say you're going to give him a day off, but you pinch hit for him and he plays 3 innings in the field and gets 2 at-bats anyway. He comes in and he plays anyway. Just play the damn guy. Like, come on. I don't understand why they're not trying to win these ball games. It feels like, oh, you know, let's give this guy a rest. Let's give this guy a rest. I get that people need rest. I totally understand that. But for him, he's been out. Give him at-bats. And I'm sorry, but Stanton doesn't need another day off either. For all the money they're paying Stanton, and for the role that he's playing, the dude isn't even playing in the field. Let's take that into consideration. The guy is not playing the field. So he's going up there 3 to 4 times a game, swinging a bat, and he's running the bases if he gets on base. In this game, he was 0-for-3 with a walk. So he went on the base pass one time. One time, people. Why would he need another day off before the end of the regular season? I just don't understand it. And then before this game happened, Aaron Boone made comments that the catching situation is going to be day by day. Kyle Higashioka seems to be the favorite right now to catch because obviously, you know, he's been playing better. Hitting .255 on a year. He's been really steady behind the plate. He's become Garrett Cole's favorite catcher. But then in this game, Aaron Boone pinch hits Gary Sanchez for Higashioka. Number one, I thought it was bad timing. First and foremost, you give Sanchez a cold at bat. The guy hasn't been swinging a good bat. It's not an easy situation to throw him into the fire. That's for sure. That's for number one. Number two, yeah, Gary almost hit a home run in that at bat, and I firmly know that it was a great swing, and I'm not giving or taking anything away from Gary in that circumstance, but if you're looking at it, if you're saying it's going to go by day to day, and you're giving the nod to Higashioka, why wouldn't you give him that at-bat there? The guy's been in the game. He's been active in it. Why wouldn't you give him that at-bat? That just didn't make any sense to me. But anyway, regardless, just a couple of things that just that blow my mind. They just really do. You know, and the way I'm seeing this, and I'm looking ahead to the postseason, wouldn't it be more logical to get Clint Frazier every day at-bats in left field? Because obviously, if he's going to be your everyday left fielder in the postseason, he's going to be playing left field. So why are we playing around with Frazier playing right, Frazier playing left? Let's get this kid some continuity. Let's get him ready for the postseason. Let him see left field reps to get ready. It doesn't make sense to me, to be quite honest with you. And the Yankees go flat in the final two games of the series. They tally 2 runs on, 11 hits over the span of 18 innings. And it's really pathetic that, number one, they don't win games unless they hit home runs. They're like 1-12 this year when they don't hit a home run. So you mean to tell me they have to hit home runs to win games? To be completely honest with you, and I know I was one of the people that was complaining about the backup lineup or whatnot with guys out, but at least those guys hit with runners in scoring position. They were 1-for-7 again last night, 11 guys left on base, 19 guys left on base over 2 games. That's ugly. That is ugly. And what's going to happen in the postseason? Say Garrett Cole throws a 7-inning, 1 hit, allows 1 run, because obviously he allows a home run in that 1 hit, and the Yankees lose 1-0. They didn't hit a home run. They offense struggled. They struck out too much. Like, that's a concern. That is a true concern for me. I don't know. They're just getting cold at the wrong time. And the other show that we just did, I was talking about, you know, you win 10 in a row, 10 of 11, whatever you want to call it. And then you just get this cold and you lose four of your next five. I don't know if it's a sense of urgency that's not there. I don't know if it's a sense of contentment that they're okay with just being in the playoffs, that they think they could flip a switch. But I'm sorry to tell them, you don't just flip a switch in a postseason. You're playing the best teams in the league. You're playing the best competition that you could face. You can't just flip a switch on. And I'm going to be very concerned. And it's something we're going to talk about on our next show because we'll have more data on it, because obviously we'll watch the Marlins' final three-game set. But if this team comes out and they show a performance like they did, they're in trouble when they start the postseason on Tuesday. I'm sorry to tell you. I really am. They are in a bad spot right now because, number one, like I mentioned, looks like they're going to be on the road, which is not the case that the Yankees wanted to be in. Obviously, you want to play those games at Yankee Stadium. You've been a lot better at home this year than you've been on the road. That's for starters. Number two, you're playing a Marlins team that has a lot to play for still. They're still right in the thick of things. So you mean to tell me that Mattingly's crew is not going to come in and give 110% in this series and play with like it's a playoff series? And there's the Yankees going to dawdle in and kind of backtrack their way into the postseason, not really care. That's what it feels like. There's like no sense of urgency, especially when you watch them defensively. It's like watching the Bad News Bears, like Voight said. It's just really ugly, to say the least. And I don't know how you look at it, and I don't know what way would make you feel better about it. Yeah, you got Gerrit Cole on the mound in Game 1, but you're going to be facing a Chicago team that's loaded, or a Minnesota team that's very good. Or there's a scenario where they could even match up with the Indians, who are probably the hottest team in the sport right now, and have great pitching up and down. So if I'm the Yankees, I'm not very confident right now. They got to take this series that's coming up with the Marlins and really, I mean really, buckle down. Because if they don't, it's going to be a very, very short postseason for all of us, and there won't be much for us to talk about after next week. But let's look at some numbers here while we're talking. And let's look at Gerrit Cole's season stats. Finishes the regular season 7-3. He has a 2.84 ERA, 94 strikeouts, and a whip of 0.96. So, other than a couple of bad starts, Gerrit didn't start the year, obviously, the way that we thought he would. He didn't do bad. He had a good season. Like, that's what you signed up for. That's what you were advertised. You know, Gerrit Cole is Gerrit Cole. And it's starting to seem like he's getting on a roll. He's starting to figure it out. He's starting to get back on track. And with Higashioka behind the plate, you got to be confident with how Gerrit Cole's throwing the ball, especially in a game one. Two runs may be enough to get him a win. It's the other games of the series that you definitely have to worry about. I mentioned earlier that LeMahieu's up for the batting title in the American League. He's also leading the big leagues at 355. Juan Soto is right behind him at 351. The closest in the American League is Tim Anderson at 338. So, you know, LeMahieu's got a lot to play for over the next couple of days. Hopefully, he ends up winning it because DJ's had such a phenomenal year. If you also look at it, with three games left to play, Luke Voit leads the major leagues in home runs at 21. He's been phenomenal. No other player in the bigs has 20 home runs yet. Looks like Voit, unless Abreu goes off this weekend, Voit will be your home run leader. He is also fourth in the big leagues in RBIs at 49. And then you look at the pitching leaders. Gerrit Cole is second in the American League, or actually in the majors in wins with 7. ERA, he's up there. He's been really good. And then strikeouts, he's fourth with 94. Shane Bieber's been phenomenal with his 122. If you're looking at it from this perspective, Bieber and Bauer have to be your Cy Young Award winners. I don't know any which way that you could state otherwise. But we have three more games left in the regular season. And I'm going to go off on another rant about the Yankees in just a minute about it. But three more games to decide how they're going to match up in this postseason. And yeah, basically everything's set in stone for them. Looks like they're going to be the 5 seed. But you want them to at least take two of three and get some confidence going into the postseason, especially playing a good young Miami Marlins team. In Game 1, Jay Happ will get his final start of the regular season, maybe his final start in pinstripes, depending on how things go. If you look at it, this is probably an audition for him to get the ball in a possible Game 3 in that first round. Obviously, if the Yankees move on to the ALDS, he'll get the ball. There's no doubt about it. He'll get a start here or there. But you have to look at this as a big, big audition for Jay Happ. And then Saturday's game, you have Davey Garcia taking the mound. And again, another audition. He's a guy that is trying to prove that he deserves the ball in a postseason series. You'll probably see Davey if they go deeper into the postseason as well. It's just a matter of how well he does in this start. I think that will dictate how the Yankees view giving him the ball or not in a big postseason series. And then on Sunday, the final day of the regular season, the Yankees are finally giving Clark Schmidt a start, which I think is a very bad job on their behalf. Schmidt should have got a start a lot earlier than this, but it is what it is. And they're saying that there's a possibility he could impact them in the postseason, which I think is even a worse job on this Yankee team, on this Yankee front office, on this Yankee coaching staff. If this dude is going to make an impact in the playoffs, why wouldn't you give him regular season experience? To me, that's just dumb. I don't know about you, but to me, simply dumb. I don't know. I hope Schmidt really pitches well because obviously I love what he brings to the table. I love how he is. I love his demeanor on the mound. But to say that he's going to impact you in a postseason after not really pitching much in a regular season, really, I mean, really doesn't make sense, especially given he doesn't have much big league experience. But nonetheless, a couple of notes. Number one, I want to see the everyday lineup every day this weekend. And by that, I'm going to give you my lineup. Stop playing around with the catching situation. If Higashioka's your guy, Higashioka's your guy. Sanchez hasn't been able to figure it out. It is what it is. But now these games are going to matter. It is a big situation. And if you're looking at it from a perspective, Higashioka's been better offensively and defensively. Yes, Sanchez has the power. Sanchez has the ability. We know what Sanchez is capable of, but he hasn't shown it. Give Higashioka the start behind the plate. I want Higashioka behind the plate, Voit at first, LeMahieu at second, Glaber, dear goodness Glaber, catch the ball at short, Urshela at third, Frazier in left, Hicks in center, Judge in right. I don't want to see Tyler Wade. I don't want to see Thairo Estrada. I don't want to see Brett Gardner, even though I love Gardner. I don't want to see Brett Gardner. I don't want to see Mike Tauchman. I want to see the starting lineup with Giancarlo Stanton at DH. I'm sorry, I've seen enough of Tyler Wade this year. I don't need it. I need these guys to be active. I need these guys to be ready to go. I need them to show the everyday lineup for the postseason. The same lineup that Aaron Boone is going to show in Game 1 is the lineup I want to see all weekend for this Marlins series. I don't want a Sunday rest day. I don't want any of that garbage. Play the starters. Get them ready for the postseason because obviously there's no sense of urgency with this team. And that falls on Boone. That's unexcusable the way this team played against Toronto. Unexcusable. But now we have to step up that urgency. Wake them up. Flip the switch now. Get back on track. We all know how lethal this team is when they're on. We all know it. We've seen it. We saw the 10-game winning streak. But now they're in a predicament where they've lost 4 or 5, and it just seems like they're backpedaling into the postseason, and you have to be very concerned about if they can even last past the first round. Because they're going to be playing some very good competition, most likely out of the AL Central. And nothing is a gimme. But we'll see how it goes. Hopefully this Marlins series goes a little bit better. And we'll be back after that series to break down the final series of the regular season and look ahead to the postseason. We'll have more answers for you as to who the Yankees will match up with. And we'll give you more of an in-depth look at that series as a whole. Now, as I wrap up today's show, I'm very concerned about this Yankees team, and I'm not going to lie. My life, I eat, sleep, and breathe New York Yankees baseball, as you all probably know. And I would like nothing more than to see the Yankees holding up their 28th World Series championship at the end of the season. However, I just feel like they have a fire at sometimes, and they don't at others. And to continuously succeed in this game, that's something you can't flip a switch on. So I'm hoping that this weekend kind of eases those concerns a little bit. I hope that they come out and they play better and, you know, compete and shore up the defensive woes they've had, and the pitching looks solid. And I just hope that they give us something to look forward to as we look forward to this start of this postseason run. It could be a big run. It could be a magical run. They have the pieces to do it. But are the pieces invested enough and motivated enough to do so? And on that, I turn my attention to the manager, Aaron Boone. Boone, get this crew ready to go. They don't look like they have any life at this point. They think everything's going to be handed to them. Prove to them they have to earn it. And that's all I'm going to say on the matter. And we'll address it more on our next episode as we recap the Marlins series and look ahead to the playoff run. Can you imagine that we've made it to the postseason? It's crazy to think that early on in the year when they condensed the schedule and we started this run and then you had the whole Marlins situation with COVID-19, I didn't expect to get here. But as we're here, and hopefully it continues this trend of nobody being impacted at the playoff race, I just hope we get some exciting playoff baseball action that the Yankees are included in. But as always, you know the deal. This is the Pinstripe Talk podcast powered by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Find us on all podcasting platforms: Apple Podcast, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music. Our show is there available for you. Follow us on social media: Pinstripe Talk Podcast on Facebook, Pinstripe Talk ND on Twitter, my personal account, Nick_Delahanty, also on Twitter. Again, we're on Instagram, Delahanty Media. Find our Delahanty Media pages by going to www.delahantymedia.com. But until next time, a short next time, enjoy your weekend, everybody. Hopefully it's a nice weathered weekend. We get some nice weather. We can hang out, go outside a little bit. Fall is upon us. The postseason is nearing. And let's get ready to go. Let's go, Yankees. We'll talk to you really soon.